All right. Nice to see everybody. And let's go. So today, actually a special day in the Vaishnav calendar, we are celebrating Narottama Das Thakur's appearance. So we're going to be speaking about Narottama Das Thakur today, if that's all right with all of you. And even if it's not all right, we're still going to do it. How could it not be all right to commemorate Narottama Das Thakur's appearance? So we're going to chant, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, because it's his appearance, not disappearance day. And let's go. Vaishnava Thakur, Arasadare, Seguru Nakori, Diapada Jaya, Shogahe Maya, Tumara Sharanada. Sangha Dehawe Amare. Whoops, setting here. Bokshachi Sangha Ekaki Amare Oe. To be Kripa Kauri Shada Vinodhiya Deo Krishna Namadane. Krishna said no matter Hare Krishna, 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 Uli, Uli. Hare Rama, Ki Rama, Rama, Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Uribo. Uribo, Chato, Uribo, Uribo. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahacharya Osnotera Sitashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadana Navatupananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopanath Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturam Ki Jai Jagadatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samveda Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. Okay, so Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namali Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharade Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. Whoops, let's get rid of that window. So today, as we mentioned before, is the glorious appearance day of Srila Narottama Das Thakur. Narottama Das Thakur Ki Jai. So we're going to be speaking a little bit about Narottama Das Thakur today, if that's all right with all of you. Hopefully it's all right. And if it's not all right, what can I do about it? So it's actually important on these particular days to glorify these great personalities like Narottama Das Thakur, of course, Narottama Das Thakur, Shyamananda, and also Srinivasacharya, our second generation descendants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disciplic descendants, of course. That's important to understand. So what I am going to do is talk about Narottama Das Thakur, but first, Om Ganat Timidandasha, Gananjana Shlakaya, Chakshur Unmiditam, Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So in order to discuss Narottama Das Thakur's pastimes, we have to start with someone named Lokanath Goswami, who was Narottama Das Thakur's spiritual master. Anyway, offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami to the Prabhupada, so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So let's start with Lokanath Goswami, who is the spiritual master of Narottama Das Thakur, but he wasn't before. He was in Mayapur with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was very attached, very, very attached to Lord Chaitanya. And being attached to Lord Chaitanya, he didn't really want to see Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. Many devotees, they actually weren't so happy with Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, because Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he became very renounced from this world. Excuse me. I became very renounced from this world, and they didn't like to see that. Generally, devotees like to see the Lord served in opulence, or at least in comfort. Let's say comfort rather than opulence. So Loganath Goswami was sent by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, and actually also to prepare the ground for the six Goswamis of Vrindavan who would later come. Of course, Loganath Goswami's intimate friend was Bhugarbha Goswami, and they were inseparable. So even when he was in Vrindavan, he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya, so he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Prayag, and then he went to he heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, so he went to South India to try to see Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya got to Vrindavan then. And then when he went back to Vrindavan, he heard that Lord Chaitanya was in Prayag. And then he thought, let me go to Prayag to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it was in Prayag that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami, which we read about previously in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then he had a dream, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and said, no, just stay in Vrindavan. We have some very serious business for you. So he just stayed in Vrindavan for the rest of his mortal sojourn. That means his particular pastimes within that, I hate to use the word lifetime, but in, anyway, yeah, I think you understand what I mean. Within that particular pastime of the Lord. Okay. So, let's get back to Narottama Das Thakur. So, way before Narottama Das Thakur appeared, Lord Chaitanya visited this place called Kateri, which is where Narottama was going to be born. And there was a river that surrounded Kateri Dham. And this was called the Padma River. It's actually in East Bengal or Bangladesh right now. It says the Padma River. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and bathed in the Padma River, which is the holy river, he was crying out, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And not only that, he deposited his love of God, you know, some sort of potency of love of God in the Padma River. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained all this to Lord Nityananda. He said, soon there will be a great personality known as Narottama, so the greatest personality, Uttama, that's superlative, the topmost personality, who will appear in Gaitari. So shortly after that, or a long time after that, actually it was shortly after that, Narottama Das Thakur, of course he wasn't Das Thakur at that time, he was simply Narottama, took birth in Gaitari, and he got the name Narottama because the astrologer predicted he would be the topmost or best of persons, or men, like that. And he showed many signs of a great personality. Even when it came time for his grain ceremony, he refused to take any grains or rice or anything like that unless it was offered to the deities. He was the son of a very rich king, you know, landholder king, like that. His name was Raj Krishnananda. That's quite a nice name, Krishnananda. And his mother's name was Narayani. So when he was 12 years old, he had this dream. And in that dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to him and told him, go to the Padma River. So he went to the Padma River, took his bath, and came back. His complexion had changed completely. It was golden at that point, and he was simply ecstatic, rolling on the ground, because he had taken the prema, or the love, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had deposited in the Padma River. But one problem with becoming a great lover of God, and it's a big problem, is that one becomes apathetic to material life. Now, what does apathetic mean? Unless you use the word pathos. Or, we're not going to use the word pathetic because that's used in a different way in English. Pathetic means just, you know, the guy's so stupid he's pathetic. Or so crazy he's pathetic. But apathetic, in this particular case, because pathos means like an emotion, so apathetic means without any emotion, he became nirupeksha to material life. In other words, his parents want to get him angry. This is very, very, get him married, not angry, sorry. It's very similar to the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was very apathetic to material life, and Narottama Das Thakur's parents acted in a very similar way to the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami. They had guards to make sure that he didn't escape. Phew. And the guards made him feel like he was in prison. His parents were in such anxiety. Our son just wants to join the Hare Krishna movement. And you find that even today, the parents don't want it. At least, not all parents, but most parents don't want it. Because, you know, the son is supposed to do something for them, and the daughter is supposed to do something. What does the son or daughter do? It fulfills their desires, takes care of them when they get old, which is actually a pretty good idea, but fulfills their desires for little grandchildren, so they can cuddle the little grandchildren. And anyway, I'm a sannyasi, I'm not going to get into this, I'll get in trouble. So anyway, so it fulfills their desires. You know, what are we going to do later on in life? We're going to take care of the little grandbabies and the great-grandbabies. So the parents were in anxiety. And also they had no one to take over their money if inheritance, if Narottam didn't do it. Same time, Narottam was also hearing from a great personality named Krishnadas about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. And he also heard about someone who would later on become his associate named Srinivas Acharya. So he was just feeling this great, intense emotion. And who can understand the emotions of a Vaishnava? I'm going to be speaking about that in class tomorrow, the emotions, deep, deep emotions. I mean, it's hard for us to understand that, what the emotions are like. Anyway, so we're going to do a brief exposition about that tomorrow. So tomorrow morning's Bhagavatam class, or tomorrow late at night for those of you in Australia and New Zealand. So then Narottama Das Thakur had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Chaitanya said, you are going to be initiated by Lokanath Goswami. So then he planned and planned and planned, and he escaped from home. And he ran to Vrindavan, or walked to Vrindavan, as the case may be. But by the time he got to Vrindavan, Rupan Sanatan had passed away. So he felt desolate, depressed, and anxiety. Of course, all these are spiritual emotions. But he also dreamed, or that he was going to meet his great associate, Srinivas Acharya. And Srinivas Acharya also had a dream that Narottama Das Thakur would come in the next day. So Narottama Das Thakur arrived in Vrindavan, and he met the remaining Goswamis in Vrindavan, amongst whom was Lokanath Goswami, who was going to become his guru, and also Jiva Goswami, who was Narottama Das Thakur's Siksha Guru. And he trained up Narottama Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda, and other Vaishnavas, of course, in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the practice of Krishna consciousness and poetry and so many other things. So, but he was told, remember, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was going to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. But Lokanath Goswami had taken a vow, being a humble Vaishnava, not to give initiation to anybody, or not to accept any disciples. He thought, I'm not qualified. This is the mood sometimes of a great, great devotee. So why? The question arises, why would anyone think that they're qualified? Why would anyone think they're qualified? That's an interesting point. And because if someone thinks they're qualified, they are unqualified. So one takes disciples, not because they think that they're qualified, but because they're ordered to do so by their spiritual master. Amaragai guru hoi tore desh. As Lord Chaitanya says, yari dekatari kar krishna padesh amaragai guru hoi tore desh. This is my instruction. And Prabhupada wanted it. So if one has the order of the spiritual master, even if one feels himself or herself completely unqualified, one has to take up the service. I mean, so many of us are unqualified in many different ways, but because Prabhupada wanted it, Prabhupada deputized us, so we take up service for Prabhupada's mission. So this is the point, not that one is thinking, I'm a qualified guru. Wow, really nice guru. I should even worship myself. So many things happen if you're a guru that sometimes even people show your baby pictures and think it's sweet. And we were talking about this the other day. Some of the devotees came across my baby pictures and they were thinking, oh, how cute. And I said, what happened to that person? That body's not existing anymore. It's just not existing. It's an illusion. It's all an illusion. How cute or not cute, or, you know, it's all gone, the past. We don't live in the past. So anyway, so getting back to the point. So Lokanatha Goswami had taken a vow never to accept any disciples. And so Narottama Das Thakur, he was determined, and he secretly was cleaning Lokanatha Goswami's latrine every day. And he went on doing this for about a year. And Lokanatha Goswami was wondering, you know, who was cleaning the latrine area? Latrine basically means an outhouse at this particular point, or basically sometimes just a hole in the ground. Very simple life the Goswamis lived. There was no toilets there at that particular point, or indoor showers or anything like that. It was a very austere life. But still, India is quite civilized country. I mean, I was just doing some research into the history, European history versus Indian history, and Europe is so much more uncivilized. Unbelievable. The wars, the atrocities. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. India had some atrocities, but those are mainly from the invaders. People who came from the West. Of course, not so many Europeans, but actually the Europeans took over through business means. But the Mughals, like that, man, hundreds of millions of Hindus killed, ruthlessly slaughtered by the Mughals. I mean, it's the world's most horrible genocide. And very few people talk about it, because it's not politically correct to talk about it, but it's a fact. It happened. So he cleansed the latrine of Lokanatha Goswami, and Lokanatha Goswami had a dream by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he initiated Narottama Das Thakur as his only disciple. And Narottama Das Thakur was trained by Srila Jiva Goswami, his Siksha Guru. So after he received his training, he and Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda received their training. They decided to take the books of the Goswamis, or at least copies of the books of the Goswamis, to Bengal. And these books were hand-copied at that particular juncture. And so they basically went to Bengal. But on the way to Bengal, I think everybody knows the story, or in Bengal, there was one kingdom called Vana Vishnupura. And the king there
Ooh, he was a dacoit. Vera, Hum Vera. Actually, my name is Vera. Vera Hum Vera. So was his name. And he had a whole bunch of dacoits and dacoit astrologers, and they told him that these people were coming from the West, that is, from Vrindavan, are carrying a treasure in a treasure chest. And so they stole what they thought was a treasure. And actually, later on, Srinivas Acharya met the king, was able to convince the king of his superiority, was given the books again, and the king became a great devotee and gave up his dacoitry and made Vanavishnupura a Vaishnava kingdom. Everyone had to chant their rounds, no eating meat, fish, or eggs, or intoxication, or illicit sex, or gambling in the whole kingdom. But that's another story. So that's what happened with the books. And when the books were stolen, these three personalities, Srinivas Acharya, he went looking for the books, but Narottama Das Thakur, he visited Navadvip at that time, and Shyamananda, he went to Orissa to preach in Orissa. So he visited Navadvip, and in a vision, he saw Navadvip as it was when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obviously had left this world by this particular time. But Lord Chaitanya's widow was there, and also Janava and Vasudha, the widows of Lord Nityananda, were in Ekachakra. So he visited Ekachakra, and it turns out that Lord Nityananda personally took him around Ekachakra and guided him to all the holy places in Ekachakra. But Lord Nityananda was hidden in the form of a Brahmin. So then he eventually went back to Kateri, and in his dream, he had a dream, he dreamt that there were deities in a what's called a go down. Go down doesn't mean go down. Go down means like, let's say in Spanish, called almacén, warehouse in English. So, go down, Mister. Anyway, so they were the books. No, he had a dream. There were deities at a go down, and this go down or warehouse had a lot of rice in it, but nobody could go near the go down because also, in addition to the rice, there were these venomous snakes. We understand the snakes were actually expansions of Ananta shapes. But in any case, they were the snakes, so nobody could go there. And this godown was owned by a rich person. And so Narottama Das Thakur went to this rich person and said, "Can I go in your godown?" And the rich person said, You have my permission, but please don't, because you're going to get bitten and you may die." So, of course, having faith in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Narottama Das Thakur went into the godown, and the snakes just, I wouldn't say they ran away, because you never see snakes running, but they slithered away. And he goes, "These snakes were there to protect the deities." And inside he found six deities. Six deities. And he had this big festival that he organized. And this festival was the festival of Gaurapurnima. And the chief guest at the festival, the chief Brahmin, was, guess what? Janava Mata, who was Lord Nityananda's wife. Of course, Lord Nityananda had already left this world, but Janava Mata was still there. And so she was the chief guest, and she sometimes cooked, did some deity worship. She did deity worship, for those of you who are chauvinistic. And she was a guru. She initiated disciples. She traveled with a whole bunch of people, some of whom were her disciples, some of whom were other great Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis, and she traveled with her son. So anyway, so it's protected by her son. So anyway, so what happened is that let's see, during this festival, many things happened. One thing that happened during the festival was that Narottama Das Thakur had this ecstatic Leela Kirtan about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, because Narottama Das Thakur had a special style of kirtans, which was like a Leela, it was like storytelling. Because as we're here in a few, we'll hear in a few minutes that Narottama Das Thakur was expert in writing poetry in the vernacular. What does vernacular mean? It means the local language, which is simple Bengali. So he was able to bring Krishna consciousness to the masses in simple Bengali. So this was a very important part of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So they had this deity installation. All right, so let me just get to the point. Narottama Das Thakur led a big kirtan, and during this kirtan, guess what happened? Wow. Interesting thing. All the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they appeared and they danced during the kirtan. Wow. That's amazing. And then when the kirtan was over, they disappeared again. This is very interesting. It's similar to the story when Brajanath, the great-grandson of Krishna, went to Braj to basically excavate and discover the places of Krishna's pastimes. And he had a kirtan, and all of Krishna's associates had Krishna appeared, and he danced during the kirtan too. So this is a similar type of pastime. So Narottama Das Thakur had this kirtan, and his kirtan was so powerful that Lord Chaitanya and his associates appeared and then disappeared at the end of the kirtan. And then after that, they had this beautiful holy festival where they were throwing red dyes at each other and, you know, just having fun. I mean, India is known for festivals, you know, really wild festivals where no one's supposed to get hurt. I mean, because sometimes there's so many people that people may get hurt. But they're not like festivals in the West that are violent. You know, the only time people get hurt in India is because of an accident, because there's so many people crowded into one place, and sometimes there's a stampede. But in the West, you have these festivals where you have these violent people. People in India, at least traditionally before the invaders came, were not a violent people. They were more intelligent. Like I was mentioning before, when they had some philosophical difference or differences of opinion, they usually didn't kill each other. Usually they had an argument or discussion, as they may say, and the winner won. And nobody got hurt, you know. It was like very chivalrous. They would argue during the day, and then at night they would eat. It was very, very chivalrous. Okay. Okay, so let's go on with this. So this was the festival of Kateri, which was quite an interesting occasion in Narottama Das Thakur's pastimes. But many people were very, very upset that Narottama Das Thakur was taking disciples. And not only was he taking disciples, but many of his disciples were coming from the Brahmin caste. Now, remember this, there's very much caste conscious at that time, and still people are in India. So they were very spiritual, so he was beyond the caste distinction, obviously. You know, it says that kiva vipra kiva nyasi shuja kena nai ye Krishna tatva veta se guru hoy. One can accept a guru if he knows the science of Krishna, whether he's a learned person, not learned person, kiva vipra shudra, lady, man, doesn't matter what type of body they have. It's like, Would you discriminate against a guru because he arrived in the Volkswagen instead of a Mercedes or Tesla? I don't think you would discriminate against a guru because of that. It has nothing to do with being a guru. Absolutely nothing. The body has nothing to do. It's se Krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. So, anyway, so a lot of people were upset. And the brahmanas complained to the king. The king's name was Narasingha. That means half man, half lion. He's named after Lord Narasingadeva. So obviously he had some pizzazz in him. So they complained to the king, and the king said, okay, let's take care of this guy, not by killing him, but let's have some Brahmins go and defeat Narottamadas Thakur. And he sent his chief Brahmin, who was known as Rupa Narayana, big, big, big scholar, PhD from Harvard, not Harvard, the Indian version of Harvard, whatever it was. Anyway, he was a big Sanskrit scholar. But Narottamadas Thakur's followers, who happened to be very, very scholarly Sanskrit scholars, had a plan to defeat him. And this plan was quite interesting. Two of the followers of Narottamadas Thakur, there was Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was actually a disciple of Srinivasacharya, and there was a disciple of Narottamadas Thakur named Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. They were quite elevated in Sanskrit grammar and everything like that. So what happened is they went to the village before Kateri, and what did they do? They made believe that they were shopkeepers selling things like pan and other things like that, and just shopkeepers. So this Rupa Narayana, this great pandit sent by King Narasingha, he went to this, passed through this village, and when he was in the village, you know, buy things. You know, when you're traveling to India, you have to buy things in every village. Why? Because you're traveling slowly. You can't just, you know, like zoom through villages, especially when you're walking. Things take time. Not that he got in his motorcycle and went from one village to another. So anyway, so in the village, he bought some, went to the panwala. And the panwala was speaking perfect Sanskrit. And the other wallas, they were all speaking perfect Sanskrit. And they were able to show themselves to be more intelligent than Rupa Narayan. And he thought, ooh, how do you know so much? And, you know, who's your guru? And they all said, Narottamadas Thakur is our guru. And he thought, ooh, maybe I am making a mistake. And that night, he had a dream, and Durga appeared to him. Kalima, Kalima. And Durga said, I will kill you unless you surrender to Narottamadas Thakur. And so he surrendered, and not only that, the king and queen surrendered to Narottamadas Thakur, and they were both initiated by Narottamadas Thakur. That's one story of Narottamadas Thakur's great potency. So, another story is this famous story of the dacoit named Chand Roy. Okay, he was big, big dacoit. He was ghostly haunted, ghostly haunted. And his father was just really worried about him. He was a dacoit, but he just became crazy after some time. And the father asked the devotees to pray, and especially Narottamadas Thakur to pray for him, and this Chand Roy became a devotee by the devotee's mercy. It's interesting, by the right association, a demon can become a devotee, and by bad association, a devotee can become a demon. Okay. So, when this Chand Roy became humble and a devotee, there was another king who was a Yavana. I don't describe what a Yavana is, but you can pretty much understand. He thought, now, since this Chand Roy is a devotee, we can just take care of him. You know, he may be the prince or a king himself, but, you know, we're going to take care of him. So the Yavana put him in prison, and basically, Chand Roy's father employed a mystic Shakta to get Chand Roy out of prison. So the Shakta appeared in prison by his mystic powers, and he said, Chand Roy, I'm getting you out of prison, just chant this Shakta mantra. And Chand Roy had become such a great devotee by that time, he said, no, my guru is Narottamadas Thakur. and I only worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Radha and Krishna. So get away from here, you Shakta. Thanks for trying to save me, but it ain't going to work, because my only shelter and the only mantras I chant are the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and mantras, Vaishnava mantras. So, she had so much faith. This dacoit had so much faith in Artamadas Thakur. Finally, the Yavana king thought, you know, I'm going to have this guy killed. So he put an elephant in front of Chandroy, and the elephant started to charge at Chandroy. And Chandroy just nonchalantly reached out, and he touched the elephant's trunk and pulled the elephant's trunk off, and of course the elephant died. And the king was a little humbled at that time, and he released Chandroy. That's an amazing story. I think that's amazing. Of course, Narottamadas Thakur is... all right, let's talk about how he disappeared first. He disappeared in a very interesting way. First of all, Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya, was an inseparable friend. Godam. The way they see it where I've been is Godam. Godam. Not Godam. Godam. Anyway, whatever it is. So Godam. The way, actually in Vrindavan they call it Godam. That's how I got that pronunciation. Someone just put a message in. Godam. Godam. So, I guess in Vrindavan they pronounce it a little differently. Because otherwise it sounds like Goddamn. Oh, I'm anyway. Can't say that. So, anyway, so let's get back to the point. So, Ramachandra Kaviraj was a great, inseparable friend with Narottamadas Thakur. They could not even bear to be apart even for a minute, basically. Ramachandra Kaviraj never even went to see his family. One time, Narottamadas Thakur ordered Ramachandra Kaviraj, go back to your family for a little while. And Ramachandra Kaviraj could only walk like 10 meters away, and he felt so guilty that he wasn't following Narottamadas Thakur's instruction. He started hitting himself with a stick, and Narottamadas Thakur came out and said, please don't hit yourself with a stick, it's like hitting me. They were actually completely inseparable. Okay, so when Ramchandra Kaviraj and Srinivasacharya, who was his guru, went to Vrindavan, that's where they disappeared from. And when Narottamadas Thakur heard that news, he thought, it's time for me to go. Because he was feeling the separation of his great friend and associate. One friend was Ramchandra Kaviraj, and he was also associate at Srinivasacharya. So he couldn't bear. So he told the devotees, make a funeral pyre, and I'm going to sit on the funeral pyre and leave this world in this way. So he sat for 3 days. But the Brahmins who had previously criticized Narottamadas Thakur pleaded with Narottamadas, they criticized Narottamadas Thakur for leaving this world in such an inauspicious way. Of course, for Vaishnava, any way he leaves this world is auspicious. He's always thinking of Krishna. There's nothing inauspicious, whether he leaves because of disease, whether he leaves because of a car accident, whether he leaves because of old age, whether he leaves because of whatever. Even someone killing him, it's all auspicious because he's remembering Krishna. How can you say there's one auspicious way of dying or another inauspicious way? That's Vaishnava Parad. Because Vaishnava is always auspicious, whatever way he decides to come, whatever way he decides to leave. It's always auspicious. So what happened is that the Brahmins were criticizing Narottamadas Thakur for leaving this world in this particular way. And Narottamadas Thakur's disciple, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, was pleading with his guru, please do not leave in this way, because it's causing people to criticize you. And Narottamadas Thakur then stood up from this funeral pyre and manifested a gold Brahmin thread on his body. So that really dissuaded the rascals from criticizing him. And he kept chanting the names of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Finally, a few days later, he entered into the Ganges, and he asked his disciples to please give me a bath, you know, with the Ganges, you know, pour water from your hands. And everyone was chanting, and he was chanting, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha 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 Krishna Chaitanya. And, as they were chanting that mantra, his body melted into the Ganges River. Wow. And it made like a milky substance. It's called the Dugdha Samadhi, Dugdha, like milk. And the devotees saved some of that milky substance and they made a samadhi from it. It's called the Dugdha Samadhi of Narottama Das Thakur. So while he was present on this earth, he was an exponent of many different types of kirtan, especially Leela kirtan, but he's famous for different kirtan collections such as Prayatana, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, and every morning we are chanting so many of his songs, like Shiguru Charana Padma. That's actually written by Narottama Das Thakur. He's one of the most prolific songwriters. He and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur are most prolific songwriters. And the main contribution, I would say, was his bringing the understanding of Krishna consciousness to the common people through his writings and poetry, and as I mentioned before, the vernacular. That means the common language, Bengali language, common Bengali language. Because generally at that time, the scholars, as we heard before, they were mainly conversing and writing in Sanskrit, like Rupa Goswami wrote in Sanskrit. Of course, Rupa Goswami spoke Bengali, he spoke Persian, so many different languages, Orient. But primarily the language of the scholars, like Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, was in Sanskrit, in the Sanskrit language. So this Krishna consciousness needed to be accessible to the people in general. Similarly, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada made Krishna consciousness accessible in the English language and in the modern languages in the Western world and now the Oriental world, like China. And Prabhupada said, however you express, in whatever language you express Krishna consciousness, it's spiritually potent. It's not that everybody has to learn Sanskrit. Prabhupada did not say that. I mean, it's wonderful that devotees can learn Sanskrit and understand the different meanings of verses and scriptures. But Prabhupada said if something is communicated in English, it has the same potency. That was Prabhupada's statement. Prabhupada said, not that everybody has to learn Sanskrit. So that gives us great hope, because I don't think in this lifetime I'm going to learn Sanskrit. Anyway, so with that happiness in mind about Narottama Das Thakur, let us unmute you all and allow you to ask questions about Narottama Das Thakur or any Krishna conscious subject matter you would like to ask questions about. Okay, I think, let me just minimize, whoops, I have to pull up all these different windows, and I don't want them to be too big, because if they're too big, they get in the way of seeing all of you. Okay, I have basically all the windows pulled up now, so anybody have any questions or comments about Narottama Das Thakur or Vaishnavism or great Vaishnavas or any of the subject matters we've been talking about the last few days? No? You can raise your hand. Rishikesh, okay. Rishikesh to the rescue. Yeah, what's your question?
My question is, after Narottama Das Thakur disappeared from this world, still the Krishna consciousness movement was like you know, spread it into so many divisions right now. So many Alpa Sampradayas sprouted even after he left. This Alpa Sampradaya. So why is it like that, Gurudev? I mean, even though he was a contemporary of Krishna consciousness, after he left, there was so much diversions in Krishna consciousness until Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared.
Why is that? Why is that? Because basically, look what happened after Krishna. What? Imam vivasvate yugam praktivana hamavyam vivaswan manave praha manorik shvakave bravet. As Krishna describes that he touched vivaswan manu manamukshvaku, and then the chain of the synthetic succession was lost. That happens. That's the nature of things. Things get lost. You know, just like the scientific principle of entropy, how things go to less complex. So by the nature of the time factor, things get lost. I mean, it's very unfortunate because of people. People don't have pure motives.
This was like very, like, only after 100 years,
That's right. Things got lost, and therefore you had to have someone like Bhaktivinoda Thakur appear to reestablish the authenticity of Krishna consciousness. Of course, there were great Vaishnavas. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there were other ones like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others, Baladeva Vijayabhushan, that appeared after Narottama Das Thakur. I mean, many great Vaishnavas, what to speak, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. But as far as the general understanding of Vaishnavism, it wasn't so much propagated. I mean, it was, I mean, when you say Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, certainly. But because people are generally materialistic in this world, they will utilize even the pure spiritual philosophy for something mundane. Now, fortunately, I'm not saying we are pure or anything like that, but fortunately, we have Srila Prabhupada's books. Krishna has arranged books, talks, recordings, etc. like that. So Krishna has arranged in such a way that we have much more information, very specific information, and about how to conduct ourselves, how to conduct a society, than would have been possible for anyone to have had in the past because of the modern technology. So Krishna has arranged this modern technology so that we might be able to avoid what happened after other great acharyas disappeared. We might. You know, so we have this fortune, you know, the printing press, happened. Well, there was the printing press when Narottama Das Thakur was present, but it wasn't so widely used. And I think Gutenberg had already been there, not been in India. It wasn't so widely used, but we have this modern media right now by which we can solidify Prabhupada's understanding of Krishna consciousness. And this gives us a tool that they didn't have.
Right.
They didn't have previously. So, yes, without that, things would have fallen apart. I mean, if we didn't have this technology, all this stuff, you know, that Prabhupada gave us and quotes from Prabhupada and everything like that, I don't think we would have been able to keep the movement together in any coherent way. But because the devotees are focused on Prabhupada's instructions, you know, the GBC, I'm not saying the GBC is perfect, but because devotees were focused on this, and they have, every devotee in the movement has access to Prabhupada's instructions. That's amazing. And, you know, all of us are literate, maybe not in Sanskrit, but everybody is literate in their own language. And Prabhupada's books and everything are translated into different languages. So I think we have much more checks and balances. And, of course, there will always be deviant Vaishnava groups. Even today, there's deviant Vaishnava groups. There's Sahajas, there's Shaktas, you know, whatever. But I think we're much more protected now. So, here's a question.
Thank you.
Sometimes senior devotees act in a very mean way. They talk like this, and how to prevent ourselves from committing such Vaishnava aparadha so that I can participate in the programs with everyone. Whoops, oh, sometimes I skipped. They talk about someone behind their back. They are partial for some junior devotees. They discriminate on the basis of gender. For this reason, I'd prefer not to go to the center. Because of this, their behavior, I see their shortcomings, but this is also Vaishnava aparadha from my side towards those devotees. Don't think evilly about those devotees. Just be compassionate towards them, and it may be necessary for you just to associate with those of like mind. You have to discriminate. But those who have a different mind or a different, what you see as improper discrimination, don't go there. Because one of the main things we should understand is Lord Chaitanya's devotees are adverse to criticizing others. So that's the only advice I can give you. Choose your own association. I certainly try to choose my association. That's very important. Okay, and it's time to go. So thank you very much. I have to go now because it's a little late here. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening. I think tomorrow we'll continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today was the appearance day of Narottama Das Thakur. So thank you all for joining us, and we will see everybody tomorrow. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oops. Hold on a second.